High, like exalted days like these require preparation. You may Elul, in the days of Elul, you may Rotzenheim, or days of favor. You may Atzlocha Rabo, Mishachov Sabaliyah, the days of great success to those that desire to grow. It means in Elul, there's tremendous opportunity for growth if you wish to take advantage of it. Hey, Rabbono, Rabbeinu, Hagein, Rabbi Yisrael Solanter, Milifnim Kasher Yadati. Rabbi Yisrael writes, Milifnim, in earlier times, Kasher Yadati, as I know, like I know, Kol Ish Achso Pleitzis, Mikol Akere Kodesh Elul. People would, like, literally shudder from just hearing the words Elul. And they would already be announced in the shul with the adventure of Chodesh Elul, people were already, there was a certain fear on their faces. Acharod alozu nisa piria vidkarev lavase izbrach ish lefi erchei. This charoda, this fear, had it bore fruit in that people started working, and each one according to what they were capable of, but people would take it and they would focus it into their Aveda Devil. It's in the Ori Yisrael Miktav Yudalad. Mahu Tivachon, what is the nature of this preparation? If Yisrael Mavair Zayis Biksar, Yisrael explains this shortly, the Mikhtovai, in his letter, the Dvarov Mahavim Mahapecha, and his words are like a revolution. Lo Rak Lagabe Achona LeYomim Neroim, not just as regards the preparation for the Yomim Neroim, El kol avodas Hashem Yisbarach, but into all our service of God. The elu dvarav sham, and these are his words over there. Achein, so therefore, bichlal noida af ken yisoyin yirunu, that it's known and the experience teaches us. Niyot oved Hashem Yisbarach gamu madrega nisa, to be a servant of God on a high level. Belim limudam musari, without learning musar, akenid habchus mira latoiv, or turning from bad to good. Belim musari, without musar, hikamo bakashus aria, beli ayin, like wanting to see without eyes. Vishmiya beli oizen, or hearing without ears. It says you want to grow into a madrega of yir shemayim, or you want to go from bad to good without musar. It's like wanting to see without eyes, or wanting to hear without ears. L'zayis kosvu ha-paiskim. That's why the paiskim write, asher b'yomim anorim alolu, in these holy days, these awesome days, eis ha-achona, the time of preparation, lovo el ha-mishpat, to come to the judgment, for Rosh Hashanah, and Hashanah b'yayisar ha-achona yom kippurim, even more so, to prepare for yom ha-kippurim, Asher ain dai, it's not enough. Be'er es ha'esek ha'godol lifnei odom, just to explain the job before the individual. Lahachin es atzmoi lifnei boyo, to prepare himself before he comes to this great day. It means it's not enough. You got to prepare. There's not enough preparation. It's always, but it needs to be prepared. You need to come prepared. You can't just fall into it. You think a person thinks they're just going to fall into Rosh Hashanah, so that's what they're going to get out of it. It's like you get out what you put into it. And without preparing for these days, so you're not going to get that much out of it. So you can imagine what it was. You had a capital case, or you had even a lower case against you, and you would just like show up in court without making any preparation, without seeking any legal counsel, without trying to do everything you could to get yourself ready. Or what did a lawyer even, like, hey, what would you say to the lawyer who came to represent you? He says, you know, all right, so what have you been doing? I haven't thought about it until 5 minutes ago. now I started doing it. Right? You look at somebody, you look at these cases, and you see the lawyers are filing motions and making appeals, and there, and the everything under the sun, right, in order to find a way to matzdik, to find it that should be good, and the person's preparing, and they're nervous, and they're tense, to get ready, right? You think you're just going to be all of a sudden this person is dropping Rosh Hashanah, dropping Yom Kippur, and no. That's what happens. That's what you get out of it, basically. You just drop in, you drop. You get a little bit. Maybe you get a bit of Yisairus, maybe the davening could rouse the person on Yom Kippur. You get something. I'm not saying you don't get anything, but if a person prepares, so they get a lot more out of it. Yochel Adam Liyos Eved Hashem. The person can be an Eved Hashem, a servant of God. Madrega Gavaya, on a high level. Midaisav Haros V'mukayman Oimdeis. But his bad midas, they are still there. He's a person could be an Eved Hashem. A person could daven, and they could learn, and they could do chesed, but they could still not be have corrected their midos. They could still be with their bad midos. They could still be getting angry, and still be impatient, and still be focused on themselves, and they're doing everything for their own glory, and their own kavod, but in one sense, they're serving chayra, they're serving God, like in one sense. V'mi lo yovin, and who doesn't understand, ki ikir avodaseinu hi, that the main point of our service, eit chapchus mira l'tzei, to change from bad to good. And the etzem is working on ourselves, is changing ourselves, developing who we are. You know, it's all the shuckling is all very nice, and it's all, you know, good to scream and the davening, and Father, we should be doing chesed and learning, but there's a point. Certainly, it has value in and of itself, but part of it is changing us, is making us into something different. That's one of the reasons why, why a woman doesn't have a chiyuv in Talmud Torah. Because a woman's neshama is made differently than a man's. A man, from his neshama has a tikkun, can reach its perfection through omol atayra, a melas atayra, just working and striving in Torah. There's something about that helps us come to our perfection. Not so by a woman. They have their own avaida, their own way of doing things. We have to have our way also. Part of our avaida in this world, the things is that in Shlema, it's our Veda is to perfect ourselves, to bring ourselves to develop our midos, to take them and bring them to the highest level we can. It's not an easy job. Shaul Salanter writes that to change one mida is more difficult than learning all of Shas. Right? And the emphasis is that we're not trying to change our midos. We don't have to change them. We just have to refine them, improve them, perfect them. It's a little bit much for right now, but if you look in Das Chochma Musar, Yeruchim explains there how it's through working on strengthening our positive that automatically the negative is drawn along with it. And that everybody has positive mitzvahs. We're created with Tzelem Elokim. We're created in God's image. It's a matter of taking that and perfecting it. So Rav Olma says it's not possible without learning Musar. It's not possible for a person to be able to get to that level. They can improve, but without Musar, they're not going to be able to get to that to the bottom line. Who doesn't understand? Doesn't you have to prepare for the Yemei Adin? The Maya Hona Drusha, what's the preparation that's required? Bavadai, certainly, Latseis Mi'ara Shabonu, to get out of the evil that's within us, to try to improve that which in it, that is within us, that has led us astray. Lishtano Mi'ra L'Toy, to go from evil to good, to bad to good. Ubezeh Ahechrech Lasik B'Musar. And it's of necessity to be involved in Musar. Ki Ishtano Da'atzmik Mi'odam B'Li Musar. It's just like to change automatically without working, without doing anything. He could bakashas aria b'li einayim. It's like wanting to see without eyes. It's not shy. So, it's interesting what it means by musar. What does it mean, esek and musar? That's another thing. Exactly what that esek and musar means. But musar is about perfect self-perfection in various ways. Or Zell Salanter was the founder of the modern Musar movement, was Machadish, a certain way to learn Musar, a certain way to arouse oneself, to try to get to the subconscious of the human being, to put things into ourselves, to make us aware of things through saying a certain pasuk over and over again and being misliv and looking into it. It's a modern approach, a very cognitive approach. But it's not just that. It's very much involved in the emotions also. Getting the emotions and the senses involved in a person recognizing what it is and then seeing what's going on. And coming to a very deep understanding of themselves and who they are. That's b'maisa, so practically speaking, top of the next page. We should try to prepare to greet Rosh Hashanah with an extra effort. The things that have related to them the aspect of accepting the yoke of heaven, the Iker B'Kriya Shema. The main thing is in Kriya Shema, like we've been doing the last few weeks. The Kaivan B'Posuk HaRishayin, to have Kavon on the first Posuk, Kedin, Pe'alocha, and you take Kavon HaShlema with a full Kavon, L'Kavo HaAtzmeinu, Ol HaMalchus Shemayim, except on Prasad as the yoke of heaven. This is a very, we've spoken about a very fundamental idea in terms of preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is this idea of Ol Malchus Shemayim, the recognition of God's divinity over the world, His rulership over the world, and our acceptance of that upon ourselves. The world's a different place where there's a acceptance of God and where there's no acceptance of God, or where there's lip service to God. And we are different people if we live with a reality of God's existence and a reality of that oil. That means that, okay, some people say, like, if you take a survey in America, so it's a very high, 75-80% of the people say they believe in God. Not a very high percent of Americans, as a very religious country. If you ask people, do they believe in God? Like, but what does that belief in God mean? Well, what's the upshot of that? You got to buy a present for somebody at the end of December. And that's the belief. That's what your belief in God means. That you should be a nice person. So for some people, it has an upshot. So there are people. I'm not saying that it applies to everybody. But certain people, they realize that there's an upshot to that. That yes, if I believe in God and there's some divinity, that means that there's a certain way that I'm expected to act in this world, and I have certain ideals and values that I need to act with. Those ideals are affected by their various religious faith. But if, you know, for many people, it doesn't involve anything. It just involves, like, you know, God's like your grandmother. She just loves you, and she'll give you presents, and treat you nicely, and, you know, you can get away with basically everything. Right? That's not the way it is. That's just not the way it is. It's Yom HaDin. It's an accounting. It's not because God needs a Yom HaDin. It's not because He wants to, I told them to do it this way and they did it that way. They're going to see who's boss. I'm going to show them who's boss. I'm going to get those guys. And that's not the... That's what you think God cares. I guess it makes a difference. What's the point? The point is it's for our benefit. If we want to get to... God wants us to achieve the maximum we can accomplish. The way that we can accomplish that is through growing to our greatest potential. And that's part of what the Gavin Levain writes, that we were put in this world to matakin our midos, to correct our character, to perfect ourselves. Each one has his own challenges. Every one of us was born with different character traits, different qualities, different circumstances in life, and each one of us has our own challenges to deal with. And our own difficulties to deal with. Our own circumstances, certainly, to deal with. But certainly there's, even on a deeper level, we have different challenges, different things. Some things that don't that don't affect others affect us to a great degree. And that's our challenge, is to be able to go with that and develop and to create, make something the best possible person we can make of ourselves. And part of having a Yom HaDin and a Yom Kippur is to help us along that way. And it's a consequence to your actions. If we would have a life with no consequence to our actions, imagine what that would be like. There's no consequences. It's like nothing. What difference? Nothing would make any difference. There's no consequences. Right? Yom Kippur is such a great day because it gives us an opportunity to have a fresh start, to sort of be clean and move forward. Like the Shari Tshuva says in the Yeshayda Tshuva, the first thing she was, just forget about everything you've done. Start now. Start afresh. Like, don't let the things that you did in the past drag you down. Sure, you need to learn from them. You need to correct them, perhaps. But don't let it be a ball and chain. There's some people that allow their past to be a ball and chain. Just drag on them and pull on them. And that's not productive. If you have a way of using it in a productive way to spur yourself on, that's helpful. Look, yes, it's easy to talk what I'm saying, but it's a lot harder to do it for me too, right? It's in all of us. It's not easy, and we all have our ups and downs, and we all have times when we're succeeding, and we all have times when we're not succeeding. You have to keep trying though, and learn from those mistakes. The only way you can do that is if you pay attention a little bit, see what's going on, think about it, if it makes any difference to you. It says, L'kayden v'posag arishim k'din mitoy kavana shlem l'kavan l'tzmeo oil malchuso yizbarach. V'ma mo'oid alenu li'zoyer. How much we have to be careful. Mishna zehirus, a double carefulness, be'elul ne'elul. V'misham tiyah shvo l'meshach kol ha'shem. From there it can affect the entire year. Elul has the ability to affect our entire year. It's the starting gate for the year. You start out well, you get going, things go well. You start off bad, you gotta make corrections, many more corrections along the way. Ma ha'arba kita chain makalupne ashchino. Says there are four groups of people that don't merit to receive the divine presence. It shouldn't be that the sins of our tongue should crush us on the, break us on the day of judgment. Right? It says the four groups don't merit to receive the divine presence. Right? Revolva explains this more, and he has a pamphlet called Klaka Shtika Vayadoa that explains that what's the pshat. The four groups, it says, are people that speak Lashon Hara, people that are like sonim, that are scoffers, people that are shakranim, that are liars, and people that are hanafim, people that falsely flatter other people.
First one?
Excuse me?
The first one again?
Lashon Hara. So Revolt explains what's the connection of all these four. Now, not being makabel pnei shchina is considered a very terrible punishment. Because the ultimate of what we're taught, if you believe that that our life in this world is to ultimately be able to bask in the divine presence in the next world, and this world's a preparation, and that the greatest pleasure you have in this world and next world is to be close to God, so this means that they don't merit that. They don't merit to be in God's presence. God will have, I say, I have nothing to do with you. I don't want anything to do with you. Like, you know, stay away. You're not invited in. That's a very severe punishment, right? Very severe thing. The Revolver says, what's the connection of these four things? It says the connection is that each one of them uses speech to drive people apart. So God created speech to bring people together. Speech is, the human being is known as a medaber, right? We're referred to as a human being is distinguished by his ability to speak. And God created that ability to speak in order that people can come closer together. And when you use speech to drive people apart, which is what all these people do, so then you're destroying that gift that God gave to bring people together. If you use speech to drive people apart, stay away from me. I don't want you near me either. It says, V'yoyim b'marsha, look in the marsha, and we're in Saita, al kat leitzim shenemar, moshach yodo es leitzitzim, like the leitzim, the scoffers, remove your hand from them. Avar, pirish akosav, tachilosai, yoyim malkeno. First it says, the day of his kingship. Shu Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. Shaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malkul Shal, and God is the King of the world. Acholos Sarim Levakesh Rachamim Lefono. The angels, the ministering ones, they want to ask mercy before him. The Melech HaElam Moshech Yodom in Aleitzim, the king removes his hands from these scoffers. L'lach Nisam Kualom L'chitzosvei. Hilu Mokam Adin doesn't let them in even in the place of judgment. They are like, they don't even get to get a sort of a grade by God. Like, stay away. Meir V'ayim, it's amazing. They don't even get a chance to, they don't even get the day in court. How can they make any appeals to the court? How can they say anything? They don't even get a chance to plead. They don't have any chance to say a prayer. They can just do anything. Hashem Yerachim. Milvad kol zois. In addition to this, or outside of this, It's a great work on these days of preparation. To give ourselves over to try to correct our character. Not to get angry. Not to be stringent. Makbid is overly particular. But certainly on the Rosh Hashanah itself. We shouldn't trip up in these bad character traits. A person that's willing to not let things bother them, not be so particular. It's also, God, let's pass by all his bad deeds. Amru Chazal, Navoid, serve, Mitkainina, prepare, Huli Yush, without giving up, without getting depressed, Huli Atzvus, Vatzbonus, without depression, without tension. Not giving up to work, prepare, do what we need to do, without giving up, without being depressed, without being tense, but doing what we can. Nidchena, Me'al Atzmeinu, Esabahola, to move away from us the Baha'u'llahs, like the confusion, the Mahuma, our tight places called Onam Erev Rosh Hashanah, to take, like it's stuck in like your Balagan of Erev Rosh Hashanah, it Azer B'Simcha, should put on, like come in, B'Simcha with joy, Likres Elokeinu, to greet God. Because it should be, yet Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. We have a festive meals on it. Why? Because the focus is not on ourselves. It's true, we're being judged. But our focus is on God. That's part of the schus that we have, is that we say, you know, God, yeah, even though I realize you're judging me, but right, all I'm concerned about is your kingdom, your kingship. I want you to be the king, and I'm not worried about myself. Ashrei ha'am yodea trua. How fortunate is the nation that knows trua. Hashem bor panecha yileichun. God, and like the light of his countenance will go. Right? This. V'shimcha yegilum kol hayom, v'tzidkach sa yiroyim bo. In your name we will rejoice the entire day, and your righteousness will be exalted. Ki tiferes ozmoi ata, because you are the glory of our strength. V'ratzaynecha terum karneinu, and with your will, our like glory will be raised up. And that's what we have to prepare. That's the preparation that we have. It's an awesome task. It's an awesome task that we have, really. Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll speak about a little bit more, because the time is up. I'll speak a bit more about the nature of Rosh Hashanah and the nature of Yom Kippur in terms of coming into it and preparing for it. What? Coming into it, preparing for it in a way that hopefully we come out with it with a lot. You should all realize that you come into, you might look at yourselves, look at ourselves, and wonder, like, yeah, my son, I'm not a big tzaddik, I'm not a big talmid chacham. What do I got? You should realize that, first of all, compared to the rest of the world, you're a big talmid chacham and a big tzaddik. Right? You're in the top one percentile. Yeah, top cup two percentile, for sure. Right? And more than that, the people that have overcome difficulties and circumstances in life and have made tremendous self-sacrifice in order to try to keep mitzvahs and to learn Torah, and it's difficult to start at an older age, many of you, or even if you had and the difficulties you went through, you can't imagine the joy that brings to God and the tremendous chus that you have. That you can come before Him with that tremendous merit and a tremendous joy, and we just have to keep going with it. Always not rest on our laurels, but to keep going and to keep coming farther and to moving forward. So part of what we're doing to get ready for Rosh Hashanah is what we're doing. That's what we're doing. That's what you're in yeshiva, the learning, and everything you're doing is part of that preparation to raise us up. It requires a bit of thought also, you know, to stop a few minutes now and then and think about, before that day comes, a little bit about what's gone by over the past year and where we are and what we can do in a positive way, not in a negative way. If it just makes you depressed, don't do it. You know, there's one of the Chassidish Rebbe said, there's nothing that's not an Aveira that's more destructive to the service of God than depression. And there's nothing that's not a mitzvah per se that's more constructive to the service of God than simcha. Those two things, even though there are mitzvahs related to being besimcha, there's mitzvahs against being. I say, a person needs to be positive, and to work in a positive way. People that just get down and depressed, you don't get anywhere that way. It's negative energy. You need to take the positive energy and positive forces and work to grow and move forward.
So awareness of work. Instead of trying to do show instead of focusing on the awareness, you focus on what you can do to improve the matter. Is that what you're saying? How can you, you know, be sad about the things you did and
okay,
so be happy?
Because I'll speak about it next week. Try to remind me.